is always available for free anywhere where you get your podcasts. You can also listen to us on the website, radiosurvivor.com. But if you do enjoy podcasts on an app, be it Apple's podcasting app or Stitcher.
Monday. Tuesday. Wednesday. Thursday. Friday. Saturday.
You are listening to the WGXC Acron 90.7 on your FM dial and WGXC.org on your smartphone or computer.
Hi, everybody. This is Dan from the Battlefield Earth Program. Have you donated yet to the radio station WGXC? Well, it's as easy as going to WGXC.org and hitting the donate button. It's like picking a chocolate out of a baby's hair. Please remember, we need you so that you can need us. WGXE.org.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés. If you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Carol Russoff of Craryville, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Rachel Silverstein is reporting in the Times Union. Graduation rates rose in the Capital Region and throughout New York in 2019, according to data released by the Education Department January 16th. Statewide, 83.4% of the students who entered high school in 2015 graduated in 2019, 0.8 percentage points above the rate reported in 2018. In Columbia County, the cumulative completion rate was 86%, in Greene County, 84%, both above the state rate for all students. Schools reporting the highest percentage of four-year graduates in the two counties were Chatham High School at 91% and Catskill High School at 90%. Board of Regents Chancellor Betty A. Rosa said that although there was general improvement measured statewide, significant gaps in achievement based on racial and socioeconomic factors still exist. New York schools are going in the right direction, she said in a statement, and I quote, but we can never truly close achievement gaps until we address opportunity gaps, end quote. Some of the gains seen in the past year can be attributed to New York's increased reliance on local diplomas and alternative to passing the Regents exams for students from underserved groups, according to Ian Rosenblum, executive director of the Education Advocacy Group, Education Trust New York. Read the full story in the Times Union. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Catskill Village officials have announced the village trustees and planning board, along with local real estate agents, will be undertaking a review of all vacant and underdeveloped properties in the village. The results of the review will help officials decide on potential future use. Village President Vincent Seeley said the properties to be evaluated include the 55 acres located behind the Price Chopper, the former Rite Aid building on Route 9W, and the former Condor vehicle dealership. Seeley said, and I quote, "The information gathered will be used to see if the parcels are priced right. What are the challenges to selling them? What could be some optimal uses of the parcels?" End quote. Seeley said there are also concerns about housing to be addressed. He said, and I quote, "Can we accelerate the development of one of these vacant parcels to meet our affordable housing needs?" End quote. Planning Board Chairman Patrick McCullough said once the property review is finished, the Planning Board will meet with local realtors to identify the businesses that might be interested in the parcels available. Seeley said Angela Lanatou, president of Columbia Green Northern Dutchess Multiple Listing Service, has been invited to participate. Seeley said the group of trustees, Planning Board members, and real estate agents will begin its monthly meetings in February. He said the review will continue through 2020. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Jennifer Gold Keel is reporting for the New York Post. Socialite Cornelia Guest has put her 456-plus acre estate in Ancrumdale, Columbia County, on the market for $4.75 million. Guest is moving, along with her collection of rescue animals, to Texas. Guest said, and I quote, "I have a mini horse and a donkey rescue," end quote. She purchased the property in 2015 for an undisclosed sum. Guest is the daughter of the late socialite C.Z. Guest and polo champion Winston Frederick Churchill Guest. The Ancrandale property includes a 6,000-square-foot main house with 6 bedrooms and 5 bathrooms, plus a guest house, barns, fields, and trails. Guest said, and I quote, "It's really beautiful. Every window I look out of is just gorgeous," end quote. Read the full story in the New York Post. Rebecca Carballo is reporting for the Times Union. The town of Colony's computer system was reported down on Friday, January 17th, due to a cyber attack. City officials said things should slowly start to come back online before the weekend. The attack was discovered late Wednesday and forced many of the town departments to take operations offline. The town has not paid any ransom to the hacker. Town Supervisor Paula Mahan said a team of law enforcement and various state agencies have been working to respond to the attack. She also said the town's data was backed up and many of the departments were able to work without using the computer system, but the town's news release about the attack had to go out by fax because the email systems were down. About a week ago, the Albany County Airport Authority's network was also hacked and the airport had to pay a ransom. The amount paid was not disclosed, but airport officials said it was, and I quote, "under 6 figures," end quote. It is unknown if there was any connection between the Albany and the Colony events. Read the full story in the Times Union. Brendan J. Lyons reports in the Times Union that they have sources saying that the year-long investigation by the FBI and State Attorney General's office into the financial dealings of Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin and his political aide Richard W. Chris is just about done and is, and I quote, "expected to result in criminal charges," end quote. Last March, Chris was put on leave from his $105,000-a-year county job after the criminal investigation was made public. Chris returned to his county job 5 months later. Times Union sources claim investigators are looking at campaign fund problems when Chris ran McLaughlin's successful county executive campaign in 2017, and how McLaughlin, a Republican, handled campaign funds from his assembly elections. McLaughlin was an assembly person in Rensselaer County from 2011 to 2017. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union.
Peter Fleuron reports in the Columbia paper that more than 75 persons turned out January 13th to a Canaan town meeting to hear about a new program for, and I quote, unaccompanied alien children, end quote, at the Berkshire Farm Center and Services for Youth on State Route 22. The Sheltered Hearts program would bring about 300 migrant children, primarily teens and boys, to the center each year. The center is overseen by the Administration for Children and Families and the Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement. The Berkshire Farm Center used to host up to 250 youth in residence, but the capacity now is 60, and there are currently 17 residents. Provided statistics, 54% of the children come from Guatemala, 26% from Honduras, 12% from El Salvador, and 8% from elsewhere. About 73% of children are over 14 years of age, and about 71% are boys who are in the program an average of 93 days in 2018. That lowered to an average of 50 days in late 2019. Berkshire Farm Center CEO Brian Parcheski denied there are any plans to sell the Queechee Lake property. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Sarah Tapton reports for Columbia Green Media that inmate Kyle Johnson was arrested January 14th and charged with assault for attacking a correctional officer at the Coxsackie Correctional Facility in November. Johnson allegedly attacked an unidentified correctional officer when he was being searched. The officer got a bloody nose and bruises to his head and face. And State Police Public Information Officer Steve Neville said, and I quote, he was sent to Albany Med for further evaluation, end quote. Johnson was in the prison after being convicted of first-degree burglary and first-degree use of a firearm from an incident in Rockland County in 2017. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Sylvan Lane at The Hill reports that both New York senators voted against the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement on January 16th. The measure, replacing the North American Free Trade Agreement, passed 89-10. Chuck Schumer said he voted against the bill because, and I quote, the Trump administration provides significant incentives for manufacturers to move their business and their jobs from the U.S. to Mexico, where clean air and clean water regulations are much weaker, end quote. Kirsten Gillibrand said, and I quote, bad trade deals, including NAFTA, hollowed out upstate New York's manufacturing industry. I don't believe this agreement will reverse this trend or help the generations of New Yorkers who lost good jobs, end quote. Pennsylvania's Pat Toomey was the only Republican voting against the bill, alongside most liberal senators such as Bernie Sanders and Ed Markey. Read more about this story at The Hill Reports.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday there is a chance of snow showers in the morning, a 20% chance. Then it should be just mostly cloudy with a high near 33 and a low around 12 Sunday night with wind chill values as low as negative 3. Then on Martin Luther King Day it should be sunny but cold with a high of 23 and wind chill values as low as negative 3. Monday night partly cloudy is the forecast with a low around 7. Then Tuesday it should be mostly sunny, with high near 25, a low around 9. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On January 19th, the Catalina Chamber Choir performs at Trinity Church's annual Martin Luther King Jr. Concert with tribute to Elijah Cummings. The Urban Choral Arts Society from Baltimore also performs, held at 88 Walker Street in Lenox, Massachusetts, starting at 3 p.m. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting wgxc.org/calendar.
WGXC welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXC, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXC and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC. 518-291-9492.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm 17. I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena, and I go to school at MC Smith, and I am also from Hudson.
I am AJ. I go to school at Leibury, and I am from Philadelphia.
But you're living up here now, right?
Yes.
AJ's new to town. Right. You said you're living in Elizaville?
Yes, I am living in Elizaville.
Cool. Well, welcome. We're
it's
glad to have
variety.
You here.
All of us aren't from Hudson.
Yay! Yay. Not that there's anything wrong with Hudson.
No, but
we love
it's
Hudson.
Cool to hear
but Elizaville's cool, too. And Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But we're excited to have AJ with us here today. It's her first show with both WGXC and with Bound by Books. So welcome.
I'm excited.
Okay. Before we dive into some more talk, I'm curious if you can tell us a little bit about what kind of books you like to read.
So I like to read nonfiction, but most of the time I just like reading fiction and making my own books.
That's cool. What kind of books do you make?
So I've been working on a comic book series, but I also write like short stories.
Nice. We have some other comic creators here.
Yes.
both Lena and yes. Amelia have talked about writing comics recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I've started rewriting one I made in third grade. I don't know if I mentioned that, but yeah. I'm having a lot of fun doing that.
Are there dragons in it?
Of course. They're yeah. the only things I know how to draw well enough to make comics about.
Oh, well, I'm making one called Prom Dress, which comes...
Is it about a haunted prom dress?
No.
That would be really cool.
It's kind of based off of a song, except there are different characters called Prom Dress called by MXMToon. Huh. Yeah, so you should listen to it.
I think I'd rather read the comic.
But you should listen to it.
It is
it.
A fairly
really
good,
good
song, though.
Yeah, okay. It is.
But it's called The Prom Dress?
I'm pretty sure.
It's called okay. Just... Prom Dress.
Just Prom Dress?
No,
but without the just.
Yes.
That's cool. What kind of nonfiction do you like to read, AJ?
Well, recently at the library, I've just been reading the 5,000 Facts About Everything 2 book.
So you know 5,000 facts? Or you're getting to it?
Well, I'm getting to it. I've just been flipping through the pages, and I've been learning some facts about Harry Potter recently. Hmm. Do you know that the actor who played Ron Weasley in all of the Harry Potter films bought an ice cream truck with his earnings?
That's cool.
Just so that he can get free ice cream.
That's what I would do with my earnings.
I wonder if he shares it with others or if he's awesome. Like, it's all mine.
I like the idea that he like just took it and went on the road with the ice cream truck, like saw the sights while selling ice cream to support himself. That's like, that kind of road trip is like my dream profession. Go around and like...
Do you think ice cream trucks in the UK, because he's from, I don't know where he's from, but I assume he's from the UK, because most of the actors in that movie are.
Yes.
Do you think ice cream trucks in the UK have the same annoying songs? I mean, they're probably different annoying songs, but do you think they also have annoying songs that they play?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't consider them annoying because I always hear bring them you in such distance joy. And I'm like, oh, ice cream. Yeah. I still react.
Yeah, but...
I thoroughly react with, like, the excitement of a five-year-old when I hear the ice cream truck
Only nice. If they have cookie dough for me. I love cookie dough.
Ice cream is delicious.
I don't know, but, like, whenever, like... I'm watching TV in the living room because, like, what else would I be doing? Or I'm on my phone. It's, like, June, July, sometime warm. And I just hear the ice cream truck and I'm like, oh my god, sissy, take me out. And I just react like a five-year-old even though I'm nine.
Well, the first thing that I do when I say an ice cream truck is I'm like, okay, first things first. Do you have any cookie dough ice cream? No. Okay, what Sometimes. About vanilla chocolate chip ice cream? No. Okay, then just vanilla, fine.
Put some sprinkles
in. You gotta
in.
Appreciate when people, like, appreciate vanilla, because it's a bit of an underrated flavor.
I like vanilla in terms of, like, you know, obviously I like an ice cream with some nice stuff in it, but mm-hmm. otherwise a nice vanilla.
Yeah,
you can
like
add
to have
things
stuff you
to
can chew in it, like cookie dough and brownie chunks mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yum. Yeah. I have a fun fact.
Yeah?
What?
Tomorrow... is Amelia's birthday.
It's great.
Yay. Happy birthday, Amelia.
I'm going to be 18.
She's going to be an adult.
I'm going to be a legal adult. I can't. I don't know how to do that.
Welcome to adulthood.
I don't want to. I get a refund on adulthood?
Just act like a teen until you're actually like 20, 21. And then you're like, okay, fine. We chill.
It's ready.
Aren't you excited to learn all the secrets of adulthood tomorrow? Because, you know, you get, like, a package in the mail that tells you all the secrets.
That would make it easier, to be honest.
Can you imagine if everyone just got a packet in the mail when they turned 18 that was like, here's how it's done,
like,
people.
18 is the last, like, significant year in media and, like, books. Like, so what's going to happen? Am I going to go on my fantasy adventure now? Can I get shot into space and go on a cool sci-fi journey? This is the last year I get to do it. So where's my YA adventure that books Da-da-da. And TVs have promised me? Where is it?
Wait, does that mean since you're going to be an adult yesterday, tomorrow, does that mean you're not allowed to draw dragons anymore?
No, dragons I defy anyone who says that. I will draw dragons for the rest of my life.
Okay.
I know they're not the same as dragons, but I kind of keep them in a similar category as dinosaurs. Ooh. And our good friend Sam J. Miller, the author, who's been on a show a couple times.
It's him.
He loves drawing dragons. Oh, not dragons, dinosaurs.
He told me that he loved drawing all the dinosaurs time. The one time I interviewed him.
Yeah, so I feel like if he can draw dinosaurs his whole life, you can draw dragons your whole life.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to be in like a senior facility drawing your dragons.
Who is Sam J. Miller?
He is the author of The Art of Starving, and he's actually from Hudson, so we've gotten the opportunity to interview him a lot. He wrote The Art of Starving, he wrote Blackfish City, mm-hmm. and those are the only
Destroy
two of his books
All
I've
Monsters.
Read. And Destroy All Monsters, I think, is his newest book.
Yeah, and then he's done some
and
short stories
as well. And he comes to the book fair
well.
A lot, and I love to see him there because... I don't know. He knows my dad on a first name basis, mm-hmm. I think. And
he knows you on a first name basis.
He knows me on a first name basis, too. It's weird. It's like I'm friends with this guy. I'm like, yeah, I want to be friends with an author, and I've completed that dream.
So. He's a friend of our show, though. He's been on,
three times. He's been on three times.
Yeah. And whenever I see him when he's up visiting, he always says to say hi to Amelia.
Imagine if he was, one day Amelia just walked into the door and we're waiting with Sam J. Miller in the studio.
I'd probably cry. I always get excited to interview him.
He's so nice.
His books are amazing.
He has great book suggestions, too.
Yeah,
I've read a couple of books that he suggested to me.
So I guess it's back to books now, people.
Yeah, book time.
Yeah.
We've been talking too much about other stuff. Now let's get back to books already.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned that I'm writing an essay for my composition and literature class on Fallout by Todd Strasser, who's another book fair author that I'm a big fan of.
And you read that over the summer, right?
Yes, not over the summer. I actually read it during the beginning of the school year.
Oh, was
it?
Okay.
Fallout. And I read Boot Camp also for a school assignment quite a while ago. And Boot Camp is, both of his books are realistic fiction. Boot Camp being extremely realistic fiction, that being that it's based off like actual camps that youth can be sent to, known as like boot camps or prison camps that parents will sometimes send troubled youth to, but they aren't actually treatment camps. They're known as to use torture methods and stuff like that. And Boot Camp was about a youth that was sent to one of those camps and came out of it very, very scarred. Had an its ending, like, was probably one of the best ones. And then Fallout didn't have as good of an ending, but it was also about just as interesting of a concept, which is if during the Cold War, Russia actually ended up dropping bombs on the U.S. and U.S. ended up dropping bombs on Russia. So this kid and his family are stuck in their bomb shelter with an additional seven people. So it's a bomb shelter built for three, and now there are 10 people stuck in it. And that one had an interesting narration style where every chapter would alternate between life before the bomb drop and life in the bomb shelter. And that one was interesting to read, but didn't have as impactful of an ending, but was still a very difficult but very good read. And I think both of those books I got signed by him, and nice. They're very fun. Very entertaining. And the book I'm reading currently, I'm not gonna lie, I started off reading this ironically on a dare from a friend. It's called Bitten by Kelly Armstrong, and it is, I kid you not.
Why is it a dare?
It's, I kid you not, because it's a werewolf romance book, which is so far from my usual genre that I can't even, like, make a joke about it. It's so far off from my usual genre. I'm on page 46. Of,
are you in love with the werewolf yet?
Pages. Actually, the main character is a female werewolf, and it has a very, and so far the world building is what I find most interesting in it, because she is the only female werewolf in the world, and in the world there are 35 werewolves in total. So basically it goes into the recent chapter the recent chapter I just read actually goes into, like, the Industrial Revolution, how it impacts werewolves and how they had to adapt to a modern world and a modern pack, like, social structure. So I'm actually more bored by the romance portions of this book than I am by the world building. And something interesting is that our main girl character actually has a boyfriend at the beginning of the novel, which is something you don't see often in romance books. Usually the main lead starts off single, but she has a human boyfriend who doesn't know she's a werewolf, and she ends up having to leave him to go on her journey, which I thought was cool, and I really hope she stays with him, because I don't want this book to go in the cliched direction that she's going to end up following for the man named Jeremy, who I assume is the male lead. I really hope she stays with her boyfriend, because he's a very nice guy from what little I've seen of him. And his family is also very nice, so I really hope she stays with him.
And he doesn't know she's a werewolf yet.
He does not know she's a werewolf.
Wonder if that will change things for them.
Yeah. This is part of a 13-book series.
Wow.
I cannot by any means guarantee that I'm going to read the other 12. Because I might
kind of have to now.
Is that the first one?
This is the first one, yes. My friend loaned it to me. I have no idea where she got it.
Huh.
But we spent a really long time in my English teacher's class looking up the other 13 books, the 13th of which is called 13, because I can only assume she ran out of names. but yeah, so now I'm reading that, slowly but surely. I gave up on reading The 11th Plague, because even though my parents loved it, I just cannot get into it. It's very boring and very slow start.
Well, the book that you mentioned before, Fallout, actually, you said how it changed the narration?
Yes. The chapters altered the setting.
Well, that actually reminds me of another book that I read. It was The Homework Machine. I forgot the author. I think it was Dan Gutman. I forgot. But, so, it was part of a two-book series, I believe. So, it all started out with one person talking. And I assume that they were brought into this room with this radio recording, and then there were different people speaking for every little paragraph, and what you mentioned just remind me of that.
Huh.
And another book that I'm reading, or rereading, actually, two books, was the original Annie book, And I'm also rereading Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, which is one of my most favorite books.
My little cousin, whose name is also AJ, full name actually Andrew, is really, really into the Harry Potter books. Like, to the point where my uncle will plug in audiobooks to play on the radio in the car.
The audiobooks are really good.
Yeah.
That's how I listen to them all.
I wish that I could find the audiobook to that, but so far I'm just listening to Magic Treehouse on audio, but that's it.
Oh, I used to love the Magic Treehouse books.
I never read those, but my nephew was really into them.
Very magical.
Yes. I kind of, at some point, I want to reread Harry Potter, because now they have the illustrated editions, so I feel like that would be another way to experience
that's
reading
interesting.
Them.
That's interesting, yeah.
I
don't know how they fit it in a book.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
a
pretty big
book.
It's such
a big book.
Yeah, the book is like one huge square, and I have the illustrated version, by the way. The book is like one huge square, and sometimes the pictures aren't just like one picture. Sometimes it fills the whole page, and sometimes the pictures are just drifting down the sides.
That's cool.
I got the illustrated version at the library last year, and I did not like it. It was very boring.
The pictures or the... Because the story is
the
same.
No, the story, but, like...
I prefer the
pictures,
movies.
I'd rather listen to an audiobook.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like the guy, Jim Dale, reads the books for audio, and he's amazing. He does all of the character voices, and I don't know how he does it. It's really impressive.
I usually put on the Goblet of Fire for background noise when I'm drawing or reading. And I don't know why I always specifically put on the Goblet of Fire. Maybe it's because I'm just so thoroughly fascinated by the idea of a school dance in a magical English wizard setting. I'm obsessed with that idea, kind of. But I did try to read the first book years ago, and I couldn't get into it. But I do like the movies. And the illustrations, the way you describe them, sound really cool.
For the Goblet of Fire with the Triwizard Tournament, I thought was, like, really cool because I got to, like, see what it looked like. And part of it you couldn't see, so you, like, half imagined it and half it was right in front of you. So it was also kind of like a challenge for me to imagine it to make it look kind of like what the picture already looks like. Mm-hmm.
That too. I feel like maybe I'd like the books more if I hadn't already seen the movies and could imagine, let myself run free with how I imagined everyone looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do that because, you know, Hermione was specifically, I'm blanking. Actress's name. She also played Belle.
Emma
something.
What? No. Emma. There's too many Emmas.
What? Maybe it was I don't know.
Is it Emma Watson?
I think it is. Okay. I think so.
There's a lot of Emmas in the world.
Yeah.
It's a very popular name.
Like Hermione,
and there's a lot of
Emma
actresses
and,
named Emma.
And, you know, Ron was specifically...
That guy.
Ice cream truck guy.
Ice cream truck man.
But, yeah, maybe if I had been allowed to let myself run free with, like, imagining how the characters looked more, I would have enjoyed the books more. But I couldn't do that because the movies were so widespread and popular. I don't know if anyone's taken, like, the Pottermore quizzes, but it told me I'm a Hufflepuff.
Me too. High five.
Told me I'm a Gryffindor, which I'm really happy about.
Have you done that quiz?
Yeah.
I'm a Gryffindor, too.
Go team.
Cool.
I like Gryffindor and Hufflepuff. I mean, they're all good.
I thought I'd be a Ravenclaw.
Not Slytherin.
I could see that.
My friend's a Slytherin, and she's really nice. Don't know.
Slytherin isn't necessarily bad. I know that it gets a bad rap because there's some bad people.
But now I can finally get all that merch that I see everywhere where it's like, what house are you? And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't taken the quiz for years. And then I finally did.
Two-thirds of Slytherin are not so nice people, but the rest, the one-third of it, I think that Harry Potter, if he actually got to know them better, would end up actually liking that one-third, which is only like 10, 20 people?
That was like the one thing that I got really hooked on in the Harry Potter movies, the fact that like the Sorting Hat was going to put him in Slytherin originally, and I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Ooh, but then he didn't know. I was like, oh.
So I want to know what Lena's been reading lately.
Oh, yeah.
I've been reading a manga, which is the first book of Ruby, and it's good so far.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I already read it, but it's all good.
But you already read it?
Yeah.
But now you're rereading it.
Yeah, but my favorite, like, chapter out of this manga, that I just love is that one where she makes cookies.
We're just talking about snacks today.
Yeah.
Are we hungry? Have none of us eaten?
She makes cookies and iced tea and coffee and stuff.
That sounds nice.
And she gets scared by one of her teammates because she's just walking. And she just screamed for some reason.
I read this in the manga section of Barnes & Noble, where people used to be allowed to literally just sit down and read. And
they don't let you anymore?
No, they kick us out now. Aww. They actually, actively kick us out. So instead, we all stand and read, because then every time the workers come along, we just put it down, and we look like we're shopping for stuff. That's and then funny. Wait a moment, they're gone, where we open up the books again, and we're like, yep. But yeah, you can get into, some in-depth conversations with, the people you meet in the manga section of Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
I've had some of my most enlightening conversations with strangers there.
Oh. I love manga.
Yay. Yeah.
So, whenever we're at Barnes & Noble's, I always go into the manga section, try to find a manga to read, and we go and sit down at Starbucks, and it's
and you have cookies good. And tea and coffee.
No. my brother got us hot chocolate and a cookie. A chocolate croissant and a brownie once, because Starbucks is expensive.
Yeah.
They should lower their prices and then they'll have more customers.
I think they get plenty of customers, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Starbucks here, I don't think that can compare to the Starbucks in the city, because it's money.
Starbucks is in the cities. It's pretty,
fancy.
There's a Starbucks in Disney World. Difference.
Really?
And that deeply upsets me for some reason. I don't know why, because it's you're in, Disney World, you're in Magic Kingdom, you're immersed in the magic, and then there's just a Starbucks after the time. I'm just what's this doing here?
Yeah.
What is this doing here?
They should call it Unicorn for the Disney vibe. And then,
I had the opportunity to get the Unicorn Frappe. I searched all over the place. Because so many Starbucks were out of it when it was a big thing, and then I didn't get it because my dad was like, "We should wait for your mom," and I was like, "Okay." And I don't know if I would have ended up liking it, because it looked like, I think it was fruity, and I don't even like fruity flavors. But I don't go to Starbucks very often, but when I do, I always get the mocha chip.
The only thing I get is
basic.
The only thing that I get is the fruit and cheese, and then I'm like, "Got it, done, bye."
When the Unicorn Frappe was out, I was like, oh my god, did you see the Sis versus Bro video? That was when I actually still watched Sis versus Bro. And then I'm over here while we're still traveling to Florida, Myrtle Beach, wherever we're going on vacation. It's July now. And I'm like, ooh, they must still have the Unicorn Frappe, because they had the picture up there, but it wasn't on the menu.
Oh, no. It must have been right when it was going out of, because it was a limited edition thing. Very limited. I'm just waiting for them to name some more drinks after mythical creatures. Where's my dragon Frappuccino?
That'd be nice.
I will buy it. I will buy so many of it.
If I find it at the Barnes & Noble Starbucks, I will alert you
immediately.
Yes.
You're our lookout.
Find it. Yeah, because we go to Kingston every weekend, and we rarely go to Barnes & Nobles, but it's only when I'm bored and I don't want to go to the stores that my family chooses. All they do is go shopping for clothes, even though we have a mountain of clothes in our rooms. Except for my brother.
Before we run out of time, I want to bring it back to books. But I also want, we've been talking about Barnes & Noble for a bit, so I want to give a shout out to our local bookstores. Ooh. Spotty Dog.
Yes.
Fairview Books.
Oh,
Magpie Bookshop. What other ones do we have? Oh, and there's a really nice bookstore in Chatham, too. I forget what it's called, but they have a really good kids selection.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but I cannot for the life of me remember what it's called.
Chatham Books? I don't know.
Maybe.
Probably. But
maybe.
Chatham Bookstore,
right,
you know who you are.
Shop.
Oh, wait, we forgot to mention the libraries.
And the library,
it's true.
Of course.
We don't,
not technically
we don't
a shop,
generally
but
sell
can.
Books, although well, we do have a book sale coming up.
Oh, you have a book sale?
Yeah, in February, there's going to be a book sale.
Oh, okay.
We also have a free cart. So obviously you can borrow books for free, but sometimes people donate books and we don't put them all in the sale. We just put like,
there are
the really
also
nice
those
ones in the
little
sale.
Mini libraries around. Mm-hmm. Like I think there's one in,
there's
Greenport
one in front
Park
of the building
and one
we're
in front of and one in front of the police station.
I haven't seen that.
Just to mention Spotty Dog one more quick time, it's actually a coincidence that you mentioned it because I'm going to go there as soon as this is done.
Oh, cool.
Get some nice books.
Yeah. Must remember
to bring a book.
Yeah. I could talk about a book quickly that I've read recently. And I'm going to kind of like briefly tell you about two books because they're in the same series.
Okay.
And they're really cute. It's a comic book series for kids called Peter and Ernesto by Graham Annabelle. And the first one is Peter and Ernesto, A Tale of Two Sloths. So you can maybe guess what the characters are.
Oh my gosh.
They're two sloths named Peter and Ernesto.
Oh my
gosh. And in the first book, you get to meet them, and they're the best of friends. And Peter is a bit of a homebody. He's a little cautious. He just would be happy to stay in his tree, like, all day long, like, forever. And Ernesto is more of an adventurer. And one day decides to go off and explore. And while he's away having this great time, Peter starts to get worried about his friend. And so eventually leaves the tree to go look for his friend and make sure his friend is okay. And you meet lots of other little characters along the way. And
so
it's very
cute.
I'm definitely
Sloths are adorable.
And what was the other books you wanted to talk about?
Well, the other one is called Peter and Ernesto, The Lost Sloths.
Oh!
So it's the next book in the series, and it's really cute as well. And it's basically, they all live in this tree, as we noted, the tree that Peter feels very happy to hang out in. And one day there's a hurricane and the tree gets blown away.
Oh no.
And luckily they all survive. So yay, sloths.
Yay.
So Peter and Ernesto and their friends all survive, but then they need to find a new home. So they're trying to find a great tree somewhere out there. And another animal, a bird, lets them know about a tree that he saw. But it's a ways away, so they have to go on a journey to find this perfect tree.
Can't they just replant the tree
and just
make it stand up?
They're sloths. Then...
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
It gets demolished.
Just make it stand up
demolished
and then they
tree.
Get in the tree?
No,
oh
it
gosh.
Won't work. But yeah, so it's about their little adventure to find their new home. And so it's Peter and Ernesto and a bunch of their sloth friends on this little adventure, and they run into all sorts of different creatures along the way, and it's really cute.
I'm definitely Ernesto. I love going on adventures.
Oh, I'm Peter. I'm a Peter.
I'm a mix of the two.
I'm a Peter because I just want to stay and read my book called How to Make Yourself Cozy.
That sounds nice.
And also watch YouTube videos all day.
Me on a constant daily basis. Yeah. So
I think I lean
to?
More Peter. I got a bit of Ernesto in me too.
I run and run and run and run and run and then I read and then I run and run and run and then I read and then I run and run and read.
And speaking of that,
that's my day.
We need to run and run and run and run and read and read and read because we're out of time for today.
Aww.
But thanks, AJ, for joining us. We look forward to talking with you more about books in the future.
I'm definitely going to come back.
Yay.
It's awesome here.
And we all wish Amelia a happy, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yes, we all wish Amelia a happy, happy birthday.
And we wish everybody out there listening a lovely week.
Or a happy birthday.
Or a happy birthday if it's your birthday.
Yeah.
Let's just hope that there's more weather like there was yesterday.
Oh, yes.
That was so
we wish
nice.
You all beautiful days and lots of quality reading time.
Bye.
Have a good week.
See you guys.
Happy reading.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons are commanded to keep silent on pain of imprisonment while the House of Representatives is exhibiting to the Senate of the United States articles of impeachment against Donald John Trump, President of the United States.
Starting Tuesday, January 21st, WGXC will air the impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate. The trial is expected to run from 1 p.m. on Monday through Saturday, unless senators vote to change the rules. WGXC will air Pacifica Radio's national feed of the trial of Donald Trump as impeachment goes before the U.S. Senate beginning Tuesday, January 21st, live on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hi, my name is Maddie.
And I'm Serena.
Here's the Catskill News. You know, I really appreciate our district changing to biodegradable lunch plates and trays.
We all need to do our part.
For sure.
Maybe this will inspire others to change their ways.
Yeah, ask the question, what can I do to help?
Yeah, what can we do to help?
Next week, our region tests the midterms. Starting Tuesday morning, tests begin at 8 a.m. and afternoon starts at 12. Make sure you know your schedule and get to school on time. Buses will run on their normal times with the addition of a midday transportation home bus available if you sign up for it. There is no afternoon test bus pickup provided. Mr. Bragg sent home a letter outlining all the details for the week. Good luck, Cats.
Hello, Catskill students. The regents are right around the corner, so make sure you check the examination schedule to see when you take your regents test.
The Art Club is working on the new cat for this summer, after school on Wednesdays. Another really cool project for our students to work on here at Catskill.
Spring coaching positions have been posted if any faculty or staff are interested. Make sure you get your letter of interest in.
The 2019 Winter Sports Homecoming was a hit. Lots of people show up to support our boys and girls basketball teams.
The Catskill High School especially celebrated and supported the seniors and their journey through the sports career. Congratulations, Cats!
On Wednesday, January 29th, students interested in attending Questar next year will visit their campus. They'll go to lunch period 5 and leave at 11. They will return at 2 for p.m. dismissal. They will be responsible for all work missed. Permission slips are in guidance. Regular Questar students will not have classes at Questar that day.
Our 2019 graduates returned to talk to our seniors about their first year of college. They talked about their college search processes, choosing roommates and majors, dealing with professors, as well as completing classwork and navigating the social scene.
My name is Rachel Reed and I go to RIT.
My name is Sophie Schindler, and I go to the University at Buffalo.
My name is Rachel Smith, and I go to the University of Notre Dame.
John Michael Diedrich, Norwich University.
My name is Mika, and I go to Bronx Community.
College is fun. If anything, take that from this. College is fun and a good experience.
It's fun.
In high school, you have this set schedule. You go to school from, 7:45 to 2:17 every single day for 4+ years. You need to forget about that schedule when you go to school. That is not realistic.
What important connections for our seniors?
In addition to our weekly news broadcast, we also produce a weekly radio program that airs on 90.5 and WGXC. We are so proud of our ability to produce relevant content each week and keep our classroom running like a newsroom. Thank you to everyone who supports our efforts and tunes into our programs.
Applications are now being accepted for the New York State National Youth Science Camp. This all-expense-paid program will be held on June 22nd through July 15th. Applications must be submitted online by February 28th. For more information, please contact National Youth Science Camp Coordinator Nicole Marshlock at 518-474-5922.
The Catskill High School FCCLA is selling handmade bracelets from Guatemala to raise money for a child they sponsor to help pay for their education. The bands are beautifully handmade and available for $7 each.
I'm Emma Brown.
And I'm Lauren Liberty.
And we're here today selling bracelets as part of the FCCLA, and these are called Utibands, and all the money that is raised is going to a charity that is paying for a child's education in Guatemala. His name is Jose. Because a lot of times in third world countries, children only have private schools, which costs a lot of money. So this is helping him to better his education. This fundraiser is really important to us because we understand the importance of education and being so lucky to be able to go to school. So we wanted to help other kids who aren't as fortunate as us. And it's really important to us. This project is important for Catskill because it's raising awareness, showing that education is important and it does matter, and every little bit that you can do to help others counts, and anyone can make a difference.
Please support this important civic fundraiser run by our students.
The Yearbook Club is looking for business and personal ads for their 2020 yearbook. These ads help keep the cost down for our students and is also great for advertising. If anyone would like to place an ad, please contact Ms. Maggio in the high school guidance.
The annual PTSO Flea Market and Craft Fair will be Saturday, April 4th, 2020 from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Catskill High School. Student and community nonprofit organizations will not be charged a vendor fee. Sign up now.
Here's Deshaun with the sports report.
Yo, Catskill, this is Logan filling in for Deshaun with your sports. Two huge athletic accomplishments this past week. Catskill wrestler Jesse Davies on his reaching a career milestone, recording his 100th victory. LaVon Fernandez, Catskill's basketball player, reached his personal career milestone, scoring his 1,000th point. Congratulations, Ben, on demonstrating your talents and working hard to make Catskill great. Cats can and cats will. Here's our sports schedule this coming week. Tuesday, our modified teams host Hudson. This is a must-see matchup. Our wrestlers travel to Berlin Wednesday. Our mod teams finish a back-to-back traveling to Chatham Thursday. Our bowlers battle Hudson, and our JV girls travel to Hudson for a solo match. Friday, our modified finishes their busy week hosting Greenville, and our JV boys travel to Hudson for a solo contest. Saturday, our varsity boys travel to the Albany for the Capital District Showcase. Sunday, our girls and boys varsity ballers compete in the annual Coaches vs. Cancer tournament held at CGCC. Girls starting at 3, and us boys at 4:30. Let's go, Cats! This has been Logan and for Deshaun with your weekly sports.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Why did Johnny throw the clock out the window?
Why?
Because he wanted to see time fly. Thanks for watching. Cats can and cats will.
The sleepy world of the New York Public Service Commission monthly meetings was once again disrupted by the demand for addressing the worldwide climate emergency. And once again, over the chance of protesters, the PSC stayed with fossil fuels, voting 4-1 to approve a massive rate hike by Con Ed, meant largely to buttress and expand methane infrastructure. Though the PSC is reacting somewhat to scientific realities, it's doing so at a glacial pace. Here's Commissioner Tracy Edwards, the lone dissenting voice in Thursday's vote.
I believe that we should be shaking, doing y'all. More.
You are now tuned in to Big Vern, the Honorable Slay Diddy and me.
Challenge ourselves to integrate all of the things that you discussed, the statewide policies, the generic policies, and integrating them into the rate cases. That's my concern. You specifically pointed out all of the benefits for the joint proposal. So my concern is that I think that we could have done more within the confines of the joint proposal to integrate more environmental policy and low-income initiatives. I want to go faster. And the repair and the maintenance of the existing infrastructure is important for protection, no doubt. But even within the order, there's a forum planned to address the natural gas transition, but it's not until 2021. I am concerned that we need to do as much as we can, as fast as we can, on renewable energy solutions, on decarbonization, on cybersecurity, and the increased storage.
I spoke with Lee Zitchie of Sane Energy Project after the vote to get an idea of what this vote would mean, as Governor Cuomo shows no sign of halting the impending completion of the Cricket Valley Energy fracked gas power plant and other gas infrastructure projects.
So since Con Ed is a monopoly, if they want to raise our rates in New York City, they have to get approval from the Public Service Commission. So there was this long process of a confidential settlement negotiation where Con Edison, along with New York State and New York City, came up with this plan to invest hundreds of millions of dollars in frack gas pipelines and other gas infrastructure. And so the PSC had to vote on whether or not to approve that. Sane Energy Project was also a party in the rate case, though, and I can't talk about what happened in confidential settlement, but I can say what wasn't talked about, and that was the climate crisis. So, you know, we filed testimony saying that it's insane for us to be investing hundreds of millions of dollars in frack gas infrastructure in 2020. You know, for a long time, climate science has told us we need to get off gas, but now it's also city and state climate law. The Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act says that we need to look at the full life cycle of methane and that we need to drastically reduce our emissions. Well, you can't continue to build pipelines and invest in liquefied natural gas and reduce emissions at the same time. You know, we know climate science says we can't do that. So we were arguing that these are going to be investments in stranded assets that us as ratepayers, the people that pay Con Ed bills, are going to get stuck with. And the Public Service Commission just completely ignored that. And they put Con Ed's profits first. They continued business as usual. And they just, you know, pretty much condemned New York City to climate disaster.
Listening to the different commissioners, they all seem to have like a different language. One of them especially was focused on a lot of this money going towards municipal taxes. Are these people approaching this with different degrees of myopia from your point of view?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was only one brave commissioner, Tracy Edwards, who actually listened to the people. You know, she was at the public hearing, and I could see, you know, when we were speaking that she was listening to us. And she brought up the concerns that the people raised, that this plan did not go far enough to protect low-income ratepayers, and it did not go far enough and fast enough developing renewable energy. And then you had someone like Diane Berman, who, you know, has been working with the industry for a very long time. Her main concern was that the rate of return, the amount of money that Con Ed is going to get in all their investments, wasn't high enough. I mean, that's insane. Con Ed is going to be making tremendous profits off of these frack gas pipelines, and the rest of us are going to be paying the price of it. You know, they make all the profits, we take all the risk. And that's what Diane Berman's concern was. And that was just absolutely enraging. And then when people got up and started chanting and singing in opposition to this, you know, the people who are going to be most affected, Diane Berman got out of her seat and got the cops to come in and escort people out. So if that's what the Public Service Commission is, I don't think they're representing the public very well.
So the people that were there protesting today, including yourself, are voicing the concerns about a climate emergency, which I think is well established in terms of all the science that's out there now. Does this vote by the commission end this issue, or is this something where the governor could intervene?
It's interesting, right? So the Public Service Commission is kind of supposed to be a private, and not private entity, but they're supposed to be outside of politics, sort of. But we know that Governor Cuomo has a lot of influence on them. So if